We're going to begin this morning with a reading of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. Here's what it says. By faith, he, that is Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. One of the most amazing buildings I've ever been in is Westminster Abbey. It sits right next to Parliament in the center of London. It took them 300 years to build it from the 13th to the 16th century. Every English monarch since William the Conqueror in 1066 has been crowned there in Westminster Abbey. But Westminster Abbey is more cemetery than cathedral. There are 3,300 people buried in that church. There are 15 kings and queens, every famous scientist, every famous author. Charles Darwin's buried there, Charles Dickens buried there, Isaac Newton's buried there. The Tomb of the Unknown Warrior is right there in the middle of the aisle when you come in. When they bring the prince and princesses in to crown them the next king and queen of England, they have to walk around it. That's a very hallowed, honored spot, their unknown soldier that they call the unknown warrior. And I think Hebrews chapter 11 is the Westminster Abbey of the Bible. With all of these great, famous names that we've been reading about, and been reading about their faith, what they did by faith. They did some very unusual, extraordinary things by faith. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees by faith. Noah built a boat bigger than a football field by faith. Moses turned his back on Egypt by faith. They did these crazy things because God told them to do it. They never would have done it otherwise. Can you think of anything you've done this past week that you did for no other reason than that you know God wanted you to do it? Now, I'm not talking about the things we do all the time that we can do unconsciously by rote. We can do it and not even realize we've done it. I'm talking about something that you did that you would not have done, but you did it because you know God's will was that you do it. Did you restrain your anger this past week in a situation where you were upset, but you restrained your anger because the Word of God counsels us to have our anger under control? Did you withhold judgment, withhold criticism of someone? Because the Word of God says, judge not that you be not judged. Did you show generosity to someone who really, most would say, didn't deserve any generosity being shown? And they don't have the ability to repay you back, but you showed them generosity because you remembered the story of a man who had embezzled 10,000 talents from his master, and his master forgave him all. Did you pray for those who have hurt you? Did you love somebody who was unlovely or unlovable? If we're going to live by faith, there are going to be things we do simply because God said, do it. And we've been talking about Moses and the things he did because God said, do it. And in verse 27, there are two things we're going to study. One, this lesson. The other, the next lesson. But the story of Moses' life doesn't begin with Moses. It begins with his parents. There were decisions made before Moses was born. There were decisions made when he was very young that had an impact on him that led him to make some decisions that he made later in his life. What a blessing it is to have parents who before you're born and after you're born make the right decisions for themselves that enable you, encourage you to make the right decisions for yourself. I was watching a documentary the other day on Eddie Murphy, you know, the comedian. And I love Eddie Murphy. I love Donkey in Shrek. Eddie Murphy can be very profane. I wouldn't recommend anybody watch any of his shows, stand-up comedian shows. But I'm surprised to learn how conservative he is in regard to his lifestyle. While all of the other actors on Saturday Night Live would go out after a show and get high on cocaine or get drunk, he didn't drink, he didn't do drugs, he'd go home. And in this documentary, he is in his home, and there's a picture on the wall of him when he was 3 years old and his brother who was five. And he says, "This is the picture that broke up my parents' marriage." And he went on to explain that his biological father and his mother did not have a good marriage. And I guess his mother had been in the grocery store. You know, sometimes they have these promotions in the grocery store. Get a 8.5 by 10 glossy picture of your child, your baby, you know, doesn't cost much. Apparently she did that, and she had this picture. And when the father came in that night, he blew up. "You spent money on something like that for these kids?" And that was the straw that broke the camel's back for the mother. And Eddie was laughing about it, telling the story. I was crying. And I'm sure over the course of his life, he shed a lot of tears about the story behind that picture. I can't imagine having parents like that. But to have parents who, because they choose to live by the will of God, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, to have parents like that who will choose their course in life because of God's direction, that's such a great blessing. And so when Moses was 40 years old, verse 24 through 26 of Hebrews 11, Moses made some decisions. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was not going to live his life being known as junior. And instead of being identified as an Egyptian, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God, the Hebrews. Has anyone ever tried to embarrass you because of your faith? Or humiliate you because you're a Christian? Anyone ever thought you were crazy because you didn't live like the world? The world says sin is fun. Why not have fun? And you're crazy if you don't have fun. That's what the world says. The Bible says, oh, sin's fun all right, but it's short. It only lasts for a season, and then it's gone. And we need to make decisions based on the shortness of sin and what comes after sin has run its course. Moses made decisions based on what he saw beyond the immediate gratification of some desire. And that brings us to verse 27, which is a very easy verse to outline. There are two parts to verse 27 that can be identified by the verbs, by the action that takes place in the verse. By faith, Moses forsook. By faith, Moses endured. So we have the verb, we have the action, and then we have an explanation for the action. By faith, he forsook, not fearing the wrath of the king. By faith, he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. And I think each of those points are important enough that we ought to take a lesson for each one of them. So let's talk about what it means for Moses to forsake. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Moses made a decision. Groucho Marx, one of my favorite lines from Groucho Marx, he says, "Am I a man of decision? Well, yes and no." And that's the way many are. They just cannot make up their mind. Now, we have to make decisions all the time. You go up to the kettle after church this morning, they're going to hand you a menu, and they've got about 10,000 items on that menu, and you're going to have to pick out of all those, you're going to have to make a decision, and if you don't, the waitress is going to get very fidgety standing there waiting for you to give your order. So we have to make decisions all the time. They're part of our daily routine. What we're going to wear, when I'm going to leave to work, what I'm going to do at work, what I'm going to do tonight when I get home. We make decisions all the time, but those are mundane, run-of-the-mill, ordinary decisions. But there are three great decisions you're going to make in your life. And those three decisions involve your calling, your career, and your companion. By your calling, I mean when God, through the gospel, calls you to become a disciple. You're going to have to make a decision about that. When you decide what you're going to do in your life, how you're going to spend your life, what work is going to occupy you, you have to make a decision about that. And most importantly, you're going to make a decision about your companion. And with each of those decisions, somehow or other, we're going to have to do what Moses did in verse 27 when he made his decision. He forsook. In order to pursue one thing, we've got to forsake 1,000 other things. Let's talk about the decision as to who your companion is going to be, whom you're going to marry. Genesis 2:24 says, a man is to leave his father and mother. And I looked up that word leave in my concordance. And the very first synonym, the very first definition given for that Hebrew word translated leave is to forsake. Moses forsook Egypt. When you decided to get married, you were having to forsake something, and God spells it out. Marriage is for those who can leave, abandon, forsake the parental relationship in order to establish a higher relationship with a spouse. And people who are not ready to cut the apron strings aren't ready to get married. And so people make that decision. And you know what? Nearly everybody who makes the decision to get married at some point thinks, I made the wrong decision. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands as to who here ever had the thought in your marriage, I married the wrong person. The reason we think that is because we're all incompatible. People get divorces for incompatibility. Listen, everybody's incompatible. We all have different quirks, we have different habits, we have different ways of doing things, different ways of looking at things. And to get on the same page in life with another person in all those areas takes a lot of sandpaper and a lot of polish and a lot of elbow grease to where we gradually give up our selfishness and move on to the same page with our significant other, our spouse. And not deciding to leave parents behind is a terrible mistake, because when a person in a marriage decides, I married the wrong person, one of the first things they often think about doing is running back to mom and dad. And often mom and dad don't have the good sense to tell them, you go back to your home, you go back to your spouse. And that simply complicates matters in the marriage. We have to make decisions. The word decision comes from a Latin word that means to cut. When you decide to get married, you are cutting the apron strings. When you decide to have children, you are cutting the chance of getting good night's sleep for a long time. You know, you're making a decision that is committing you to a life of emotional ups and downs, to spending a fortune on a single individual over the course of their life, to running the risk of that individual you brought into this world and have spent a lot of money on breaking your heart, deciding not to return to you the love that you have showed to them. And so we make these decisions. When we make a true decision, we are cutting with a sharp knife. To make a true decision is to cut with a scalpel. To be indecisive is to cut with a dull knife. There's a world of difference between a scalpel and a Boy Scout knife. Now, a Boy Scout knife may be good at cutting some things, but not cutting into flesh to do surgery. It takes a sharper knife than that. And when you have a dull knife and you're trying to cut something that it's really not capable of cutting, you're going to tear more than you cut. You're going to have ragged edges. You're going to have all kinds of problems that you create because of your indecision. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So the first thing I would say is that Moses made a decision. Every day of every week of every year, we've got to make decisions. The decision Moses made was to forsake, to leave behind, in the sense of what you do when you die. When you die, you leave behind the world you've been living in. You leave behind the people you've been living with. And you no longer live to that world that you were living in. You leave all of that behind when you die. And so a decision is kind of a reenactment of what happens in our baptism, of what happened with Christ. When we make a decision to come to Christ, we've got to die. And we exemplify that in baptism. Baptism exemplifies a death and a burial. And then we're raised to walk in a new life. We've died to the old life, we're now alive to the new life. And being alive to the new life changes life drastically. There was a time when Peter was scared of some little girls in a courtyard who identified him. He was so scared that he lied and blasphemed, denying that he even knew Christ. That's how scared he was. But not too many weeks after that, the same Peter, along with John, were hauled in before the people they'd been scared of when Peter was there in the courtyard. The high priest, the Pharisees, the very ones Peter had been afraid that they would find out about him, they haul him and John into court. And they tell Peter and John, "Don't you ever mention this man Jesus' name in this town again." And Peter said, "Well, you'll have to decide what you think's right in that situation. I'll tell you what I think's right. I can't keep silent. I cannot but speak the things that I've seen and heard." And the reason Peter could with boldness say what he said to those men, the reason he was not afraid of those Jews is the same reason Moses was not afraid of Pharaoh. They had died to something. Pharaoh forsook Egypt. He died to Egypt. Abraham died to Ur of the Chaldees. He forsook it. And had he not done that, he never would have made it to the promised land. You can't threaten a dead man. Doesn't matter what Pharaoh said to Egypt, to Moses. Doesn't matter what the Jews said to Peter and John. You cannot threaten a dead man. If you doubt that, stop at the funeral home going out of town today. Go in there, find a corpse and make a threat and see how affected they are by it. That's involved in a decision. When you make a true decision, you're not going to be intimidated by those who try to pressure you because you didn't make their decision. Moses' story, like any good biography, again, begins with the parents. Let me go back to verse 23 just for a minute. And the reason I want to go back there is because verse 27 says, Moses forsook, made the decision he made, not fearing the wrath of the king. Back in verse 23, Moses' parents disobeyed Pharaoh because they were not afraid of the king's commandment. One of the biggest problems we've got in this country are parents who are afraid. They're afraid of what the soccer moms might say about their kids. They're afraid of the talk that might go on at school if their kids aren't wearing the latest, aren't doing the latest, aren't involved in everything under the sun. How much juvenile delinquency do you think occurs in this country because of scared parents? And parents who bow to the gods of this world and love the world and become friends with the world because they're afraid of what the world, the mean things the world might say about them or their children, are going to raise children who will likely repeat the same error. Moses had a couple of parents who defied the king. And they weren't afraid. They made a decision. We're going to have this baby. We're going to hide this baby. Doesn't matter what the government says, what mandate the governor ordains. And so Moses, when he grew up, showed the same kind of courage. If you've got a child of promise, now the devil tries to destroy every child, but if you have a child of promise with talents and gift, the devil is especially out to get your child. If you want to devil-proof your child needs to see courage in you. A godly mother or father, I tell you what, when God and a mother, a godly mother, join up, the devil doesn't have a chance. And it's in making that decision that you're going to live by God's will, not what the world says, that you're doing the best thing you can do for your child. And so Moses, by faith, forsook Egypt. Now let me point out something. Moses left Egypt twice. The first time was when he was 40. The story is told in Exodus 2, verses 14 and 15 especially you'll want to read. When Moses was 40, that's when he decided, I'm not going to be known as an Egyptian. I'm going to come out and I'm going to be known for my true identity. I'm a Hebrew. And Moses thought the Hebrews knew he was going to be their deliverer. But they didn't. And Moses, championing the Hebrews, killed an Egyptian master who was beating a Hebrew slave. Moses killed him and buried his body in the sand. And the next day, the guy apparently who was getting the beating showed very little gratitude to Moses. And Moses was afraid the guy was going to turn him in. When Pharaoh heard that Moses had killed this guy, the word got out. Moses thought nobody knew, but the word got out. And when Pharaoh heard it, he determined to kill Moses. And Moses fled for fear of Pharaoh. That's when he was 40. But there was a second forsaking. And that's when he was 80. When he left the first time, he went to graduate school, postgraduate school there in the wilderness, in the desert. And for 40 years, he learned the lessons he would need to spend another 40 years in that desert leading the Israelites. And that's going to be the lesson next week. He endured. At 80, he forsook. But from 80 to 120, he endured. Anytime I've read about the life of some great man, there are certain traits that have to be in place in his life. If he's going to be a truly great man, he has to be a wise man. He has to be a generous man. He has to be a temperate man. He has to be a just man. But the trait that the Holy Spirit picks to describe Moses doesn't mention any of those things. The trait the Holy Spirit picks is that he endured. At the age of 80, Moses headed out. He left Egypt. For the next 40 years, he hung on. We make a decision that involves us forsaking, dying to something, living to something else. Sometimes the dying to is easier than the living for. And the trait we need, the quality of spirit we need to get us through that is endurance, patience, persistence. You know what endurance is? Endurance is when you insert your willpower, the force, the energy of your will into every situation you encounter, especially the ones you're suffering in. God has given us a willpower that can make us hang on. Without bailing out, without surrendering, without losing hope. The willpower God has given us is stronger than anything we run up against in this life. And to endure, we must take that willpower and insert it into the... When the doctor comes in and says, you've got a mass. When the doctor comes in and says, there's no cure. When a loved one departs, leaves you, betrays you. When your children break your... You've got to take your willpower and insert it into that situation and hang on until God's blessings come. That's what's noted about Moses. We'll look at that more next lesson. But when he was 80, God said, I want you to go talk to Pharaoh. I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses said, you've got the wrong guy. Moses was no coward, but he was shy. He was timid. God says, no, I've got the right guy. Well, how will I convince them that you sent me here? God says, what do you have in your hand? Well, I've got my staff. Well, throw it down. Throws it down, becomes a snake. Then God says, take it by the tail. I guarantee you, that's where I would have picked it up. By the tail. Came a staff again. Now go down and tell Pharaoh what I told you to tell him. He goes down. He says, Jehovah says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, well, who is this Jehovah that I should listen to you? Is this some kind of joke, Moses? Moses says, oh, you don't know who Jehovah is? Well, I've got a correspondence course, 10 lessons. I'm going to sign you up in it. And the first lesson is that all the water in Egypt's going to turn to blood. Can you imagine being in a bathtub, taking a bath, when you're suddenly sitting in a tub of blood? Can you imagine having just got you a big drink of water? It's hot in Egypt. It's out there at the desert. You've come in from working all day, get you a big glass of water, and the next thing you know, you're drinking blood. And the plagues would come, and Pharaoh would relent. But then he'd change his mind again. And so another plague would have to come. And another. And finally, Pharaoh relented to the point where he said, all right, get out of here. Just get out of here. And Moses led the Israelites out. And he wasn't afraid. You know, someone said, man, those plagues are poking the bear. You might really make Egypt mad. You keep that up, Moses. Well, Moses kept it up because God said, you're going to keep it up. And then Moses led his family out of Egypt. And where did he lead them into? He led them into a barren, arid wilderness. And to survive the next 40 years out there, he had to hang on. We'll talk about that, Lord willing, next week.